name, of course, is Warren Johnson.
Well, super nerdy pet peeve of mine, nitpicky. I don't think he should have been hopping over the top rope like a parkour champion.
You got me mad now. What is your name?
As always, with my man, Pots and Pans, Nick Facone.
That's me.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
You know, you got a back nickel.
I don't really know us like you think that you do.
I'm Ryan Isley.
What is he doing?
Oh, my God. Is he the third man?
He's the third man.
What the hell is going on here?
Straight Shooters is, the number one show on Wildfire Radio.
I'm feeling good.
No sleep, no food, no nothing. Maniacism.
Well, all the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of... Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, Hal.
Sorry.
What actually happened on the show? Nothing.
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
What's up, ladies and gentlemen out there in internet land? My name is Warren Johnson, and I'm joined as always by my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Facone, the Philly voice and Philly influencer, and you are listening to episode 225 of The Straight Shooters on a whole bunch of platforms. Wherever you can find podcasts anywhere is where you can find us on those platforms. But Nick, I got to check in with you, our weekly check-in. How you doing tonight, my good brother?
I am doing well. We are recording in the middle of a Philadelphia 76ers Milwaukee Bucks NBA clash. And I'll tell you, man, today's NBA trade deadline was not that great for your 76ers. And I'm not feeling too good about our basketball team right now.
Well, at least the weather's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to admit, it might be in the 40s, but I'm all about it. And just a few days ago, it was in the 60s, and it's going to be in the 60s again before long. So I'm okay with it. I gotta admit, the weather hasn't been that bad, and we're already into February, so knock on wood, no major snowstorms, please.
I mean, it would be normal if we had major snowstorms, actually, so...
Correct.
At least one. This is not normal.
Being normal is weird.
Like, this is not normal. This is abnormal to be this nice.
Yes.
This time of the year. I know it's early February. It's now early February.
And it's great. I just moved into a new place, and I'm trying to get the lay of the land a little bit in this place. And so the weather hasn't been making it that much difficult. It hasn't been bitterly cold to where I don't know what temperature I should set my heat to or anything like that. So for that, I am thankful.
Well, aren't you lucky?
Yes. The Sixers currently, however, are not. Because they are down by 10.
Right.
Charles Barkley compared them to the Cleveland Browns. Oh,
wow. That's a,
yeah,
that's a lot. That's a little bit of a take of the hot variety.
It is. I did post a video on Philly Influencer's Twitter page. So PHL_influencer on Twitter. You can see Barkley's comments. It was before the game, actually. And now we're in the third quarter. So I'll tell you, man, I think all the attention in Philly right now is on the Sixers because of the expectations that were laid upon them. The Eagles season's over. And it does not look good.
Expectations, man. They can be trouble. They can be trouble.
Can.
Speaking of
expectations,
you knew I was going.
Yes.
Our podcast tonight is going to be mostly about WWE's conference call today and really the state of the WWE network. Because on that conference call, they had some interesting things to say about the WWE network and its potential future. That could change how we view wrestling moving forward, potentially, possibly. Nothing is set in stone. Nothing is signed, obviously. But it's definitely worth talking about because WWE talked about it in their conference call, their quarterly conference call today. So we're going to talk about that. We might touch on the Wednesday Night War ratings, even though it's nothing really new. AEW won again. I think they both shows gained viewers, which is nice to see. Neither one cracked a million again. But hey, if they're growing, that means AEW should crack a million any week now. But it is good to see that both shows did gain viewership, which is nice. I think that's really good, actually. I know Charlotte was on NXT this week. She didn't like cause a dramatic increase in ratings. I don't think any one person will from WWE, but whatever. But you know, we might touch on that in a little bit. But if time permits, though, what we really want to touch on, if time permits, is like I said last week, we haven't really talked about this. It's an evergreen topic. And we might dedicate a whole episode to it. But if we got time, enough time on the show, depending on how long we talk about the WWE Network, because, you know, that could be a 20-minute conversation. That might be an hour-long conversation, whatever. But if time permits, we'll talk about our memories with wrestling video games. Because I don't, you know, I'm pretty sure Nick is the same way. I mean, you watch a bunch of wrestling, so I'm sure you play wrestling video games too. But I played wrestling video games my damn self. I've played, I mean, tons of them. I mean, going back to Super Nintendo and up through Xbox 360 into Xbox One. I don't have an Xbox One, but I've played, you know, a couple games here and there on the Xbox One. But definitely owned a bunch of video games. I can vividly talk about a bunch of them. So like I said, if time permits, we'll talk about that as well. But our focus today will be on the WWE Network. But before we get into that discussion, of course, like I said, you can find us on all the platforms you can think of out there, Spotify, SoundCloud included. Of course, we have our website. We can find all 224 prior episodes of The Straight Shooters at theshootersradio.com. And we got a Patreon, patreon.com/shootersradio. We can subscribe to some exclusive content for the nominal fee of $1.99. Coming up, we're going to have some exclusive content coming your way. What is it going to be, Nick? Tell the folks what we're going to do next on Patreon.
We are going to revisit the Attitude Era.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, did you see that tweet the WWE Network sent out about they're going to do like a docuseries on the Ruthless Aggression Era?
I just watched it maybe like a half hour ago.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. But
we'll see.
Because I think maybe they tapped the well of the Attitude Era too much.
You think?
We are through with that. But not on our Patreon. Not on our Patreon, because we are going to revisit, I think, a forgotten classic. We are going back to 1999, February of 1999, the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, when Stone Cold Steve Austin put up his WrestleMania title shot against Vince McMahon in a steel cage match, a black steel cage, which is really cool. That might have been the first time I think we've seen that in the Attitude Era, like that black cage, which is a really cool visual, a lot better than the blue one. And that was the debut. Okay. The debut of a huge WCW superstar and a huge WWF game at the time of the Monday Night War, the Giant, who went by his real name, Paul White. And this is when Michael Cole was on commentary as Jim Ross was dealing with his Bell's palsy, off the air. So I remember Michael Cole going, "Paul White, it's Paul White." And I'm just like, "Wait, is he supposed to be saying that? Like, why wouldn't you just call him the Giant?" But that was before I understood all the copyrights and all that. So maybe WCW had to copyright it. But definitely a crazy moment, crazy match. Vince McMahon bumped like hell, bleeding profusely. A really fun match. I remember my friends came over to watch it because we didn't have school the next day because of President's Day. So very, very fun. I wouldn't say the whole pay-per-view was great, but it was just like a memory I had of that era. So we're going to live commentate the main event of the Stone Cold versus Vince McMahon match, and can't wait for that.
We're going to record that, but you're going to listen to it. I'm going to release it on Patreon Valentine's Day this year. If you're not going out with your lady, your significant other, your man or your lady, whoever that significant other is, you got some time to spend on Valentine's Day, or that weekend for that matter, slide on over to Patreon. You can listen to that live commentary for the nominal fee of $1.99. Listen to us react to, like you said, a forgotten classic. So much. I haven't watched this match in like years. Like,
yeah, I've watched it
clips dozens of times, dozens of clips. So
yeah,
I mean, I don't remember the last time I watched that match from beginning to end. I know, man, this was like years ago now. Maybe when the WWE Network first came out, I was trying to watch every Raw from 98 into 99. I was into 99, and I was going to watch, was I going to watch every Raw? I think every Raw, and then watch the pay-per-view. And I would just watch it casually. I wasn't, like, trying to write about it. I was just watching it just to see, catch up on things that I may have missed back in those days. And so, I don't know. I probably got right before. Actually, I don't think I made it to 99. I think I got to the end of 98, like, around rock bottom. But that was, like, literally, like, 2014. Like, when the network first came out. I haven't done it in years, but might do it again. I don't know. But you want to hear Nick's story about the event and my reaction to the event, pretty much not for the first time, but for like maybe the second time, check us out. Valentine's Day, Patreon, patreon.com/shootersradio. We'll have that exclusive content for you there. Now, speaking of the WWE Network conference call today with WWE, Vince McMahon And his interim CFO, Chief Financial Officer, Frank Riddick, had some... The Chronicles of Frank Riddick had some...
Lou Riddick? From
ESPN? No, just Frank. It's some other guy named Frank. They had some interesting things to say about the state and possible future of the WWE Network. The lead here, I got this story up from Sports Illustrated, said WWE is in talks to sell some of its content, some of its video content, including pay-per-view broadcasts, to quote-unquote major streaming services, according to Vince McMahon. He said that on today's earnings call. Currently, the WWE Network streaming service, which costs $9.99 per month, is home to all the company's pay-per-view events, as well as documentary series and a vast library of archival footage. We all know this already, but WWE has been in the process of expanding the streaming service network to include tier access, which we've been hearing about for years.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some things will be premium, some things won't. The tiered network offerings were supposed to launch in January, but were put on hold. Why? We don't know. Then they have a quote here from Vince McMahon. He said, you know, we have a lot of options. They're trying to continue to grow with a free tier and a more enhanced tier, blah, blah, blah. But right now, there's no more better time to exercise the selling of our rights to all the majors who, quite frankly, all the majors are really clamoring for our content. So that could be a significant increase, obviously, in terms of revenue. And as they asked Frank Riddick what offerings would be considered off limits, essentially, he said nothing is off limits to a streaming provider. So I don't want to get into the full quote, but that's pretty much what he said, that nothing's off limits. And it said that in this story that if WWE sells some rights to another streaming service, an announcement is expected in the first quarter of 2020. That's now, pretty much. Like, we are in the first quarter of 2020 right now, pretty much. And later in the story, they said that the network subscriptions decreased 10% in the final quarter of 2019, down to 1.42 million. But they expected to go up in the first quarter, up to 1.47. I'm sure that would help. WrestleMania would help that. But I'm not surprised at all that it dropped neither. So let's first pick this apart piece by piece. First off, thoughts on WWE potentially selling off content to other streaming services?
As a fan, I think it kind of sucks because I'm so used to paying $9.99 to watch all of their pay-per-views. And now there's the possibility that I'm going to have to pay more each month to watch their pay-per-view on a separate streaming service. And I do think it's kind of funny that Vince McMahon says major streaming services in his conference call, when I guess he doesn't think WWE Network is a major streaming service.
I mean, I guess compared to the subscriber numbers, it ain't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Compared to Netflix, Hulu, out there.
Even Disney Plus. I mean, I don't know all the numbers. I haven't done the research there. I
got some Disney Plus numbers. Disney Plus numbers, and we'll talk about it later. But it's quite a lot of subscribers with Disney Plus compared to WWE Network. But go ahead.
Yeah, and then that could possibly play a role of why George Barrios and Michelle Wilson left, because of this ideal that Vince McMahon said that, you know, if maybe they weren't keen on that idea. That's why they left the company. So as a fan, I'm just kind of like, man, I don't want to pay more since I'm so used to it. It's been 6 years now that I've been paying $9.99 to watch their pay-per-views. I mean, I'm used to it. I don't want to have to pay more. I don't want to have to pay $50 a month when I'm paying AEW's prices $50 a month, like four times a year, not $50 a month, but you know what I mean? Four times a year at least. So, you know, even the NWA prices, you know, I've order both their pay-per-views so far, and you know that it's like you can get it for $15 if you order it before a certain date, and then after it bumps up to like $24 or $25. So that's where I'm at. I just don't want to pay more. I'm kind of like bummed out, but as a business person, it makes sense for them. They want to increase revenue. That's a good way to do it. Which streaming service they choose would be interesting. And I did read it might have been the Voices of Wrestling piece. It was more of a opinion piece that you had sent me, where NBC's Universal, their streaming service Peacock, that's going to be unveiled this year. Maybe that's a home for, since they already have a relationship with NBC Universal, maybe that'll be a home for their pay-per-view events and stuff like that. So it makes sense in a business sense to try and increase revenue. But does that mean more people are going to get are going to order WWE pay-per-views? I'm not sure, because I'm not the only one that's gotten used to paying $10 per month to watch their pay-per-views.
Oh, we all have.
Yeah. So I don't think maybe me and you, will be like, well, we kind of have to because we're on a podcast and we need to know what happened.
Man, everything. That's going to be tough, bro.
Yeah, it is. It is. So I'm not saying we will. I'm just saying, like, there will be people that are begrudgingly signing up for, you know, a streaming service should WWE do this. And then other people are just like, all right, well, I'm done. Like, WWE content's not the hottest right now. WWE is not at the front of the mainstream or pop culture or anything like that. It's not a must subscribe type of platform for people. So that might just, you know, cause a lot of subscribers to just end their subscription. Who knows? Or not even end it, but just not buy the pay-per-views. So I'm interested to see how this plays out. I do think, I mean, if he brought it up during the conference call today, I do think that's going to happen. I don't think he would throw it out there to his investors and the media. And honestly, if he didn't think it was going to happen. So he already said that they were, you know, in talks and like in this SI piece that it announcement could be made in the first quarter if they do come up with a deal. So I don't think they would have offered that much if they weren't truly thinking about doing it. I know there's that ESPN Plus affiliation with UFC where you can only get UFC pay-per-views through ESPN Plus now. So maybe they try something with that. And apparently it's been successful for both ESPN and UFC, but I haven't done the research on that either. Once things settle down with my move and I get everything organized, I'm definitely going to dive deep into this stuff because it's very interesting. And it's very, you know, there are numbers to back up decisions like this. So I'm just wondering, like, what numbers they're seeing and why the decision to go this route was made now instead of, you know, maybe last year versus next year. Like, why now? So I don't think ESPN and UFC's had their relationship, like, pay-per-view relationship for a year yet. I think it started in 2019, but I'm not sure if it was, like, January.
Yeah, it started in 20. I forget exact time it frame it started, but it definitely started in 2019.
So maybe that's part of their, you know, plan to kind of copy what they're doing.
Yeah. the selling off. I mean, I guess I agree with you on that. I'm a fan just like you are, and it's been 6 years since I spent that much money, $60 on a pay per view. Like, at least for WWE, I spent. Even for, like, New Japan, I got New Japan World when I wanted to watch Wrestle Kingdom. So $60, like, most wrestling fans are not paying that nowadays. Now, that's not to say that some won't. Some, you know, of course, somebody will. Look at AEW. They've gotten some people to spend $50 on pay-per-view only 4 times a year, so it's a little different. Right. Whereas WWE has pay-per-views every month. And that model started in the 90s when they started rolling hot and, you know, or they needed the revenue. And it was a combination of both. They needed the revenue. Also, there's an appetite for it. So they started just giving it out every month. People were buying it every month. But then that slowed down to, you know, considerably. And, you know, once the, you know, we hit the 2010s and 2013 into 2014 when the WWE Network started. To retrain, to essentially sell it off, though, like you said, it makes sense from a business standpoint. But to who, right? And what do you sell off? In my mind, it's only pay-per-views. That's the only thing worth selling off, right? You're not going to sell off NXT television. Obviously, that's on TV, so you can't really do that. You're going to sell off a documentary? No. Like you said, the Ruthless Aggression series, nobody's paying extra money to see that. Like, it had to be a pay-per-view. And if you do a pay-per-view, do you do all of them? Do you only do the big 5 or 4, whatever it is now? Or do you put No Mercy on for $50, $60, whatever it is, on
right.
another streaming service? Whether that is the NBC One Peacock or whether that's ESPN Plus or Disney Plus, do you do that? I don't know. But it's going to be tough to retrain people to do that. I mean, AEW's done it to some success, but they're not getting millions of buys. They might get 100,000 or so. And you talked about, you know, UFC and, like, that model, which is what they pretty much did. They sold all their pay-per-views to ESPN to where you now can only watch. We talked about this at the time, like, maybe something WWE would do.
Right.
Where only the pay-per-views. You can watch, like, serial content they might have on ESPN Plus for, like, that regular subscription price of, like, $5.99, I think it is, for ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
So you can watch, like, the series and whatnot. and maybe some of the fight nights they might have in it for free. But if you want to watch one of the pay-per-views, it's, was it $60-$70, whatever it is.
At least, yeah.
You know, like it's a normal pay-per-view. So UFC did it no problem because ESPN paid for it. And I don't know how much it suffered overall, but I can tell you for the McGregor fight, McGregor is a draw. He's a legit draw. For that fight alone, they got, they, you know, I think Robert Iger, who works for Disney, he said that, he said during a earnings call for Disney that that fight alone got about 1 million buys on ESPN Plus and got them about 500,000 subscribers, wow, which we just mentioned earlier. WWE Network has like 1.42 million subscribers today.
After 6 years.
Right. When 6 years ago, when they first announced it, around this time, by the way, don't forget this, we're coming up on an anniversary, 6 year anniversary of the WWE Network. They wanted over 1 million by the end of the year. And I just looked it up when we were, before our show started, looking up some of my old stories about that time period. They hadn't even released it internationally when it launched. It was only domestic. It was only, I'm not sure if it was even out in Canada. It was definitely out in the United States.
Yeah, I don't think, but it was available in Canada.
But, and Nick found it. I wrote a story that said if they want to get a million subscribers, they're going to have to release it internationally. And remember, they did like, you had to commit for 6 months.
Yes.
In the beginning, like if you, yep, you, if you, if you, they had two price points. It was like if you can go for the $9.99 tier, but the $9.99 came with a 6 month commitment. So this is essentially $60. If you wanted to go month to month, that was $12.99. But now everything is $9.99 with a free month off top, and you can get $9.99 after that, right? That's pretty much what it is now. And then what it's been for a long time. And they really haven't messed with the price point. I don't know how long. It's been just the same for a long time. So, yeah, that's going to be tough. You know, UFC, it's working for them, it seems like, because their audience has never had to pay only, you know, $10 for a pay-per-view. Like, they've always had pay-per-views where they spent $60, $70, $80, whatever it was, for pay-per-views. So all it was, all they really did was change the platform you bought it on. Instead of buying it on traditional cable, you spend an extra couple of dollars for the ESPN Plus platform, and then you still kept buying the pay-per-view just as normal. Only thing is, like I said, you just spend a couple extra bucks for ESPN Plus, which means you get a whole bunch of other content too. You know, whether that's hockey games, they show hockey games on the ESPN Plus for free.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay for those. They show, you know, hey, you might be a CFL fan. I watch CFL games on ESPN Plus, or, you know, you can watch different, there's all kinds of stuff. There's a bunch of stuff on there. College,
even more UFC content too. I don't necessarily know if it was part of UFC Fight Pass, and I don't know how that's going. Because remember, UFC had their own streaming service, UFC Fight Pass, and it wasn't like as popular, I guess. Like, we didn't hear it as much as WWE Network, but
they didn't put anything on there.
That was,
they only put like the preliminary fights on. They didn't put pay per views on there.
No, like, they did WWE have. They did have like certain fight nights that were just on UFC Fight Pass, but they were like foreign ones where they would air, you know, early in the morning or late at night, where like no one was really watching them anyway, and they didn't have name value attached to those fight nights. So that was about it. I think I signed up for a trial, and then I tried it out, and I was like, man, this is kind of lame, and I was not a fan of it.
Well, WWE, when they first announced WWE Network, I wrote at the time it was great for fans because
I called out of work on launch. Well, not called out. I took a personal day. Let me get that out there. I did not call out sick.
WWE Network was out. Oh, I'm so sick. WWE Network.
It's like a personal day just so I could watch Fall Brawl 1997 for the first time all the way through. So, and I remember there were problems that day too on launch day. Like, it kept freezing at the same exact point, and I was getting really angry. But definitely, it was a banner day for a wrestling fan. And I took off of work on the launch day of WWE Network. That's how big of a fan I was and how much I was looking forward to it, and I'm sure other people did too.
Yeah, but like back then, I wrote, many others wrote, like, it's for fans, it was a steal. Like, it made sense for WWE to have a streaming service because they have so much content. How do you get it out to people? How do you monetize it? How do you, like, what do you do with it? Besides, you're not going to sell DVDs. Like, that market had died even by 2014. So what do? Get a streaming service. And they were kind of ahead of the curve on that because you see, every wrestling promotion damn near has a streaming service now. You go to independent, they have streaming services, or they have a way we can purchase their content via the internet, via a streaming service. But you look at Impact, you look at Ring of Honor, you look at New Japan, they all have streaming services now. WWE is a forerunner of that. So, but the problem was, it looks like in hindsight, putting everything on there, including the pay-per-views up on there for $9.99 hurt them. Where UFC was like, you can subscribe to some content, but if you want our big shows, you got to pay for those extra. Which I think if WWE could go back to do it again, they probably would do it that way.
Yeah.
They probably would do it that way. If like, because again, you can get all the shows now for the nominal fee of $9.99. Or, you know, what, you know, so that's a steal. It has always been a steal. The problem is, I don't always watch WWE Network, but I barely watch it unless it's pay-per-views pretty much. I don't really watch the other stuff they have. I haven't watched the historic content in a while. But other than, like, I don't watch Table for Threes like that no more. They were okay in the beginning, but I don't really like them that much anymore. Don't watch Road Trip anymore. That was okay in the beginning, but it's not worth going out of my way. Right. I will watch the Stone Cold podcast they have on there now.
Yes.
So there are certain things that I like on there.
The bump. Yeah, definitely.
I haven't watched The Bump yet, but I heard good things from you specifically. What's the show? Is it 365 or Chronicle?
They have a lot of similar type shows where it's like Chronicle and 365. You could look at it and be like, okay, what's the difference in this show? But 365, you know, those things are very good.
365 is supposed to be for a whole year. Chronicle is like a finite amount of time. But like,
I get it. It's just
right. No,
it's good content. I think they spread themselves thin because you have like really great episodes, but the spread's so far apart. So they're not consistent with it.
Yeah, they're not consistent. And if they are consistent with things, probably on YouTube, not on WWE Network.
Yeah.
It takes time for that stuff to. They produce a lot of content, so it takes time for that stuff to get produced.
And I'm sure they want to give people time to watch it because not everyone's gonna watch it as soon as it's, you know, put on the network. And that's what I don't watch things when they're put on the network right away. After a pay-per-view, they'll air those things, those new things. But I think it seems like, you know, there's only a finite amount of people that will watch a special after a pay-per-view. That's a long-ass night, especially when all their pay-per-views are at least 4 or 4.5 hours now. So I don't know if that's specifically a problem, because you know, sports games go that amount of time sometimes. But I get wrestling is different, and as a wrestling fan, I don't want to sit there for like 4 or 4.5 hours for every single pay per view. But the way they schedule stuff, like after a pay per view or after Raw, it's just not helping them.
Yeah, because they try to do it like use a pay per view as a lead in for that piece of content.
Yeah,
but it doesn't, like you said, on a Sunday night. When it's already like 11 o'clock, 11:30, I'm tired. I gotta go to work tomorrow, so I'm not staying up to watch that.
Yeah.
So I mean, I could watch it another time, but it's also cool to watch it when it first runs. So maybe you put it on like a Tuesday night when you don't have SmackDown on anymore, so you're not competing against SmackDown. Put it on Tuesday. What's on? Is 205 live on Tuesdays?
No, it's on Fridays now.
They aired on Fridays on the network?
I believe so. I believe they still air live.
This Broken Skull Sessions should be on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Why?
I will say, if I don't watch it after a pay-per-view, I do enjoy watching it Mondays after work or something like that, before Raw. You know, kind of like, okay, like I'll catch this tomorrow and, you know, have my dinner while watching it. Like that's like my routine sometimes. And so that is a good way for me to consume that content without kind of like spreading myself too thin and trying to wait up until 1 a.m. to finish this thing where I'm just like, it's not worth it.
But I guess, like, for me, if I'm programming from a WWE standpoint, you can have something on every night of the week almost. So Monday is Raw. Tuesday, you go to I can hear you scratching your head there, Nick. And the microphone's picking up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, how about?
I don't know. I can hear it, though. But Monday is Raw. Tuesday is, like, that Broken Skull Session staying or whatever. Or if it's Chronicle over 365, whatever that piece of content is that you want to promote for that week or that month. Tuesday night. Then Wednesday is NXT. Well, I guess not really anymore because they have... Yeah. Well, what day does NXT UK air?
I think that... I don't know if they moved it to Thursdays, like a first-run air, but it used to be Wednesdays at 3 p.m. So
it's on Thursdays now.
Is that 3 p.m.?
Yeah,
same time?
I don't know if it's at 3 p.m., but it's on Thursdays.
Okay. Because I remember, like, they would first air it on 3 p.m., and then it would be, like, on demand. And I totally forgot that. I don't want to say I forgot that existed, because I used to watch it, try to get caught up. Nothing, like, really important happened on those shows. And it was more about building up, you know, their UK brand. And, you know, a lot of those UK wrestlers came to NXT. So, you know, it's like, okay, well, NXT UK is basically the developmental to NXT, basically. So I haven't really caught that in a long time.
Well, I think the last episode was yesterday, so maybe it airs Wednesday. Thursdays and Wednesday. Wednesday to Thursday. So either way, let's say it's NXT UK on a Wednesday. Huh. Thursday could be something else. Friday, SmackDown, there you go. So I don't know. I just wouldn't put it after a pay-per-view. Point is, don't put it after pay-per-views because it's not a good lead-in. I don't want to be up that late watching documentaries.
It's overwhelming in a way. Like, it's a turn-off. It's like, you almost resent the fact that you don't want to watch it, even because they're promoting it so much, like, after a pay-per-view. It's like, yo, just let me get through the pay-per-view. Like, stop. Just stop.
Yeah,
I'm done promoting shit.
Right, I'm done.
And then, like, I just don't want to watch it later on because I just get turned off by it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm done. They did it after Royal Rumble. They put on... Yeah. The 24 special, WWE 24. So it's 365 and 24.
Yeah.
The 24 special after, it was the one about WrestleMania from last year, which I don't know why it takes them almost a year to do that. Like, it's only like a half hour. I understand it might take you a couple weeks, maybe a couple months, maybe, but like a whole year to do that. Like, I'm looking at it from last year. I'm like, I don't even care about this no more. And it's kind of the same format. It's been kind of the same format every year too. So that's getting kind of tired. But I only watched like the first 10 minutes because it was on still while I was like getting ready for bed. And after I watched Royal Rumble, it was still on my TV. But I wasn't staying up to watch that because actually I stayed up to watch it through Kofi Kingston stuff. After that, I was like, all right, done. And I went to bed. But yeah, that's not, I don't think that's a good strategy for them. They could definitely better program their original content that's not wrestling related. So I know they program NXT UK to air in a certain night of the week, 205 Live and NXT, but other stuff, I think you could do a better job with that. Because they used to put on like Road Trip after Raw. I understand you're using Raw as a lead-in, essentially, but I don't want to be up that late watching that. I got to go to work Tuesday, so why do that? One thing that I found very interesting was that the subscriptions decreased 10% in the final quarter of 2019, and that the network only has 1.42 million subscribers as we sit here today. And they're looking to... Oh, it's going to increase to 1.47. That's crazy
to
me.
That's the 500K they want. Like, how ESPN Plus got those subscribers. Maybe WWE Network or a UFC pay-per-view or something.
Is that 500K? Yes, I don't know. Either way.
1.42. Well, is it? Wait. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong.
Let's do the math here.
I'm usually good at... All right, yeah. Let's do
1.47.
That was close. I just missed a zero.
Yeah, just 1 0. Well, that's not 500,000. Like, 500,000 is half of that. Half of, like, 1.4. All right. But it's been 6 years since the network launched. Almost 6 years to the day. And from a subscriber standpoint, the network has been a bit of a failure. At least, I mean, it has. This flat out has. Not just from WWE's expectations, because they wanted to hit a million before the end of that year, which is 2014. They wanted to hit a million before the end of that year. They're barely above a million 6 years later. That's rough, right? It launched, and I just looked it up. Network launched February 24th, 2014. So 18 days from now, as we record this. We're recording this on Thursday, February 6th. I don't know if they've ever been above 2 million subscribers since it's launched. So that's not good. And when they wanted to hit 1 million by the end of that.
Yeah, I remember it took them a while to hit 1 million.
Took them a long time. I'm looking at it a year late. Like, I look at a story from a year after it launched. And, man, they probably had maybe a half a million about that. You know, they didn't even have 700,000. Something like that. They were about that. I don't know. Let me see. Hold on. Let me see. No. January 27, 2015, they put out a tweet that said they had a million subscribers.
Wow.
So almost a year to the date of the launching. So, but it's gone nowhere since.
No.
And that's 5 years ago, over 5 years ago now. And that's pretty much how WWE's audience has been overall. You look at their TV viewership, it's not going anywhere. It's going down. And its subscribers, going up a little bit, maybe because the rise of NXT, NXT UK, they've had some better wrestling on there. But other than that, hit the ceiling, done. And like I said, that's an objective failure. Like, it hasn't succeeded from that standpoint. There's some great content on there from the past, and I think they got some good stuff. They've created some good stuff for the network, but it's 1.42 million subscribers looks terrible when you compare it to, like, Disney Plus, which as of December 28th, this is now almost 2 months ago. This is, and that's like a month and a half after it launched.
I don't think I'm ready for this.
It had 26 million subscribers.
Oh my God.
Okay. They expect
wow.
to hit 90 million by 2024. Okay.
Wow. I am one of those subscribers, by the way.
Same. All right. That's unbelievable.
Gotta watch those Boy Meets World reruns.
And even for Disney Plus, it said, as expected, starting up a new streaming service comes with huge expenses contributing to a 23% profit decline for the company in the latest quarter. They lost money, and they still had 26 million.
And what was their price 28, point?
28.6 million. Like, it started out, it grew like 2 million subscribers in like a couple days. Like,
is it like $6.99 or $7.99 starting out?
Whoa.
Disney Plus?
I thought it was.
I don't think it was that high.
I might be
wrong.
ESPN Plus, according to this story, this is the AP story, by the way, as of December 28th, had 6.6 million. This is before the McGregor fight. So if you add another half million to that, they're over 7 million subscribers.
Wow.
Hulu, let me see. I had 30 million Hulu customers and 6 million as a fee. So let me see.
That just goes to show you how low in demand WWE pay-per-views are, too, because you would think, okay, I'll just subscribe to that so I can watch a pay-per-view whenever I want, even if I don't watch it live. But, man, their whole like product is just not wanted right now as much as others.
And that's, I think, wrestling as a whole. Because you can't say, oh, you can't do what UFC did, because if you got something that people want to watch, you can't say pay-per-view is dead, because they got somebody at least one person that people want to watch, and it drew over 1 million buys. You can still make money with something that people want to see. And that's for the masses, not just wrestling fans, for the masses. And I always crack up when people say, oh, this person's a big star, this person is a draw, or this person ain't a draw. It's like, honestly, ain't that many people that are actually legit draw in wrestling right now. Like, yeah, they might be able to put 7,000 wrestling fans in the building, and they might get 100,000 wrestling fans to subscribe, or not to subscribe, but to buy a pay-per-view. And that's cool. But then you got Disney Plus, which has got, I'm sure, well over 30 million subscribers to the streaming service now, because that was back in December 28th. That was 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And they were growing every single day. So, yeah, wrestling, we talked about this before, just not hitting right now. It's not popping right now. And it hasn't been, apparently, for years. You got WWE Network hasn't cracked 2 million or barely cracked 2 million and lost a bunch of subscribers or whatever the case may be in 6 years.
And it's funny because I don't think you can point to anyone, any other industry except the wrestling industry itself as the reason that there's not like a top draw, because creatively, they own what they do. Like, they can creatively make someone a star if they really want to. And it's just not happened because creatively, I think wrestling as a whole, it's not just WWE. I mean, like, AEW's had some really good stuff, but there's only so much you can do in wrestling. You know, that has already been done, but you know, that there, some of that stuff that's already been done is just really good that you go that route more than once, and then you have like you sprinkle a new layer in here, sprinkle a new layer there. But it's WWE, they just haven't created anyone at all, and it's their own fault. It's the wrestling industry's fault. It has nothing to do with like people think wrestling is lame now. It's like, well, I mean, to a degree, yes, but they'll come back once there's another, well, maybe there won't be another Rock, but another star that just transcends wrestling into the mainstream. Like, John Cena was that guy, and he's not even at the degree The Rock is right now, but yeah, I mean, he might be trying to get there.
And
he's doing all these projects now, so that's, you know, the type of star that you would want WWE to create, because only WWE can create that type of star with that huge marketing like engine behind it. and they just don't want to now. And you know, that could be a reason why no one wants to watch their product, whether it's subscribing to the network or not. So it's frustrating as a wrestling fan, because I know, and I think we know, it could, like, the characters can be so much better than what we see week in and week out. And I think at some point, wrestling fans just get exhausted, and that's why there's sabbaticals. Wrestling fans talk about, you know, the lapsed fan. You know, I took a wrestling sabbatical twice in my fandom. Like, sometimes it just gets too much. And right now, why would you want to tune into WWE? There's nothing exciting.
No.
Not even on SmackDown. I thought SmackDown was going to be awesome. It's so bad. And, like, Raw is getting better, but there's still not, like, a standout. Like, oh, I'm going to tune into Raw to see this person. Like, they're building stars, which is good. There's no one that's there yet. So maybe we have to wait and see with that approach. But my goodness, SmackDown has just so bad. Like, I'm so frustrated with that whole brand right now.
I can tell. Yeah. Since it looks like this will happen, I think it will happen, this whole thing about them selling off content, because they're looking for ways to increase revenue. Because it hasn't been great outside of maybe, you know, those television deals they got last year, or I guess 2 years ago when they signed them. But they're looking for ways to increase revenue, because, you know, you always want to do that. So, but it's a good time, I think, to kind of reflect on what the WWE Network has been up until this point. We've kind of done that already to a certain extent on this episode, talking about things that we like about it, things that we wish they would change. But it's maybe a little bit of a retrospective. I remember when it first launched, and it had, like, the Monday Night War documentary, which was a lot of revisionist history and whatnot in it. They had the, what was that, the WrestleMania series they had, where they talked about
WrestleMania
the,
Rewind.
Yeah. They had that, when Mean Gene Okerlund, rest in peace, narrating it. They put some documentaries on it that they hadn't, that were only on DVD. So they kind of started at the Legends House, which was wild, especially in hindsight, you know. Watching it. I haven't watched it since it aired, but, like, that's probably wild to look back on even now.
It was, like, 2 years old, I think, at that point, right?
Yeah, it was at least a year, because they were shopping it around, and nobody picked it up.
Right.
Which is funny in hindsight as well. Like, we'll take Bagwell's Club, but we don't want to watch old man version of Bagwell's Club. Like, Bagwell's Club with old men. Like, nah, we'll be all right. Like, give me more Bagwell's Club, please. Thank you. We'll take the pretty women over Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Hacksaw Jim Duggan. but you know, has it really brought, I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this. How has WWE and Network impacted your fandom in the 6 years that it's been around?
It's really made me appreciate what I was watching growing up, because I think the storytelling was better. Easier to follow in a way, and I think it was more explained, where nowadays, and I think it's just the product of our society now and how different it is, there's, you know, not everyone believes in a certain way, like it's not good versus bad and all that stuff. Easy to follow back then. Really enjoyed, by the way, like a month or two ago, I went on a binge watching WCW Nitro from like September 97 all the way through Starcade. And that was some of the best, like, wrestling shows I've ever seen. You know, 1997 WCW was probably like the best era that they've ever had. And, like, as a fan for me, and I watched that and I was just like, man, like, this makes sense and that makes sense. And if I was like, well, that's weird, they had an explanation of why it will make sense or did make sense. And I was just like, oh, okay. So that's what's missing now. That's what, like, if you don't understand something, like, just spell it out. Like, don't treat your fans like they're stupid, but be like, hey, this is why this is happening. And don't just ignore things. Don't just drop storylines for no reason. Like, if something happens, then the next week, just write somebody out or something like that. That type of thing where it just, like, wrestling matches felt real. And I'm not saying, like, it's worse today. I'm just saying today it's so choreographed that like you just see wrestlers, like, why are they standing there for like 10 seconds waiting for a move to be done to them? Like that type of thing. I notice that more now. And of course, like the cruiserweights back then in WCW, you could have said some of the same things, but they made it look more realistic. And even watching it now, I was like, man, like that was awesome, because even though they were setting up for a spot, they made it look real. They made it look like they didn't know it was coming, or they were getting away from something, but really just like Rey Mysterio is so good that he caught him on the plancha or something like that. It's just so different now. And that's why I got this kick, and I felt like an old curmudgeon, and I've tweeted about it like a week or two ago, where I'm just tired of like the suicide dives to the outside. I'm tired of the flips that have nothing to do with anything. And I never thought I would be like that, because I enjoyed that, you know, 15 years ago, especially in TNA, you know, like they were doing flips and all this stuff. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. But now it's all about the psychology. It's why I loved wrestling to begin with. And there's just like very, very rarely there's psychology in a lot of the really good wrestling shows. AEW and NXT, they have the same type of problems. Like I swear they're like two of the best wrestling shows on TV, but a lot of the dumbest spots. So it just made, like, the WWE Network has brought me back to being a kid, like why I watched Nitro every week and taped it, why I watched Raw and taped it. And I much rather watch those shows than what we have today.
Yeah, for me, WWE Network as it is today, and it probably won't be for too much longer, how has it impacted my fandom, or I think fandom overall, in the last 6 years? Like, we kind of had to almost have the built-in excuse for ourselves. Not to say WWE had this excuse, but like, why some pay-per-views are trash. And it was like, well, they don't have to put out good pay-per-views every month now. They don't have to have finishes in every pay-per-view, because it's not really a pay-per-view. It's a network special. It's only $9.99. It's different. That was the thing that happened. That's probably still like people talk about to this day, as to why some of these finishes aren't good, or why some of the pay-per-views aren't that exciting and whatnot, which I think is mostly because WWE just isn't that good overall. And when you have pay-per-views every month on top of that, it only exasperates the issue. But for me, WWE Network provided a lot of good writing opportunities from a lot of the past content. Like, I used to do the Throwback Thursday series, and I used to do one every week. And it was cool to, like, kind of be able to poll fans, like, hey, what do you want me to do next? And they could pretty much say anything, and I could find it and watch it and write about it. It wasn't always perfect, because some of the versions, like, you go to ECW, and they would use licensed music, and it's dubbed over with new music on the WWE Network. And that wasn't always great. Not hearing some generic rap song as New Jack comes out instead of Natural Born Killers is like, oh, that's lame. But, you know, it is what it is. Either you pay the people make the song, or you make your own generic version and save some money.
Like Walls of Jericho and on WCW Nitro. Like, what the hell?
What the hell was that? Can't use Smells like Teen Spirit by Nirvana for DDP and WCW, or Walk for RVD.
Not even like the Hollywood Hogan music. They just played generic Hendrix. NWO. Yeah,
they can't use Jimi Hendrix. It's like you said, it's some generic guitar riff, blah blah stuff that they had to put over. But the thing is, I used to watch it, obviously, because I used to watch wrestling more intently when I was at Philly.com. So I would watch it NXT every week. I would watch it for Throwback Thursday, so that's 2 days a week I was watching it, and I would check out the other stuff they had on there. I wouldn't always go back and just on my leisure watch older stuff, but it was nice when I did do it every week for Throwback Thursday to go back and watch some of the stuff that I hadn't watched in either years or I hadn't watched before. And it was educating. I was being educated in wrestling again, and I can remember that stuff, so that was cool. But man, I don't even in the 6 years, there's never a point when I was like, this is appointment viewing on a daily basis for me. And that's how streaming services are, like, for across the board for me right now. Unless it's something I'm watching every day. So, like, when, you know, something's on Netflix, like The Haunting of Hill House, and I'm watching that, I'm watching it every day on Netflix, you know, like, binge watching it. It's appointment television. Or I don't know if there's really shows where there's new episodes every week or something like that that comes out on Netflix. There are, like, the one, I can't remember his name, with the comedian. He does a new episode every week. It's like a political satire show. I can't remember the name. I'm sorry.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it is one, though. But that he does a new episode every week, and they upload it to Netflix every week. But, like, there are times where I've binge-watched stuff on Netflix or on Hulu or Disney Plus, just watch Mandalorian. You know, every time I got a chance, turned on Disney Plus to watch Mandalorian. Netflix, I've watched, I mean, I can't watch, tell me how many shows I've watched on Netflix. But sometimes when I'm bored, I've watched Netflix, checked out what's on there. I haven't really done that with WWE Network, and maybe, you know, I know you have. You go back and watch stuff. So that's just
Saturday Night's Main Event was one of my first ones. Right. That's binge watched.
That's just a personal preference, I would assume. But
yeah,
like,
yeah, absolutely.
But this is just me. It just never was that for me.
A lot of it was motivated by things that I watched as a kid that I taped, and I didn't have access to those tapes anymore because they're in storage. So I'm like, yeah, like I want to watch SummerSlam 1990 from Philly because I remember watching it like almost every day, or, you know, whenever I had the VCR and I had the TV to myself, and I would pop the tape in and just watch SummerSlam 90. And I would do that, you know, like a year or two after. So it wasn't until really like 95, and you brought it up earlier, when WWF started doing monthly pay-per-views, where I didn't have time to do that anymore. You know, I was taping these pay-per-views, and I only had like, you know, a week or two to watch them before like moving on to the next one and the build for the next one, where my attention would shift. I think that's where a lot of my fandom started, because I watched the same show time after time. And that was my motivation on the network to go back and watch these shows that I hadn't watched in, like 20 years or something like that. So at first that was my motivation, but then like once they started doing the more original content, I don't remember the first time they had the Stone Cold podcast on. This was the Stone Cold podcast, not the Broken Skull sessions. So I think was Vince McMahon the first one on there?
I think so.
So that was like the first time I was like, oh man, this is definitely something that I need to watch like as soon as it airs. So other than that, you know, I really dug the Kofi special after he won the title when he went to Ghana. That one, I believe I watched the first time it aired, and then the next day, just in case I missed anything, you know, because I think that one was late at night too. But other than that, like, I can't, off the top of my head, there was nothing that I was like, this is why I'm spending $10. You know, this is the reason. It was like, the reason I'm spending it is to watch shit that I already watched.
Right, for much cheaper.
Yeah.
Like, I was just looking through WWE Network and trying to figure out, like, what, and I'm asking you this question, what's, like, the best original piece of content that it's produced that you remember? It was a single piece of content or a series. What's something that you can think of? Because I think we can always go back and look at, like, old stuff that we like and we love to go back and watch. But that's not... I mean, that's part of the reason why, but like, that's not what WWE Network is built on. Like, it's also got to be original. So, like, Netflix had movies that they had for years, but then its brand exploded when it started having original content. Now, there's so much original content on Netflix that you almost forget that there's other stuff on there, because they got original content for like every genre of entertainment now, with music, game shows, baking, all this stuff. So, WWE Network has not nearly that much original content, but what's something that stood out for you from an original content standpoint that was like, you know what, this was cool on WWE Network?
I'm sure there's something, but off the top of my head, I mean, those, like, the Chronicle, that stuff really kind of had my eye. Those were the things where I was like, I definitely want to watch this, especially, like, the first run one. Maybe Kevin Owens 365. That was the one I remember, like, right now off the top of my head. I know it's like fairly recent. I can't really speak to anything from like 2014 or 15 that I was really like, I need to see this. So maybe the Kevin Owens 365. I was just very interested. I can't remember if someone had mentioned that you'll see like what him and Vince McMahon talked about after his Mania match with like Jericho or something like that. I think that was the one that showed that. I don't know if there was another Kevin Owens piece that had that kind of like interaction, but when Vince McMahon told him that it wasn't very good or whatever like that. Kevin was just feeling so like sorry for himself backstage, and he was being videotaped and everything. And that was like real, you know? So that was definitely something that I look forward to. And I was like, I absolutely have to watch that. But other than that's the only thing I can remember really off the top of my head.
Yeah. They got so much stuff on it. There's so much stuff that I'm going back now and looking through. Like, remember Camp WWE, the cartoon?
Bring that up as a joke. And I was actually looking forward to it because I was like, okay, like maybe it'll be one of those like adult cartoons and be funny. I mean, it was kind of like adult oriented, but it wasn't that funny to me. So
no, it wasn't that funny. Remember Bring It to the Table with Peter Rosenberg?
Was it like 2 episodes?
Something like that. And it's like they try to make First Take happen in wrestling, and just like, nope, not watching that. Stuff they haven't touched in years, like WWE Countdown. That was stuff that launched when it first came out. The Breaking Ground show was good on WWE Network with the PC, the Performance Center.
Yeah, I did like that one too.
The Edge and Christian show, that was really funny. I thought it was
great. Yeah.
Too Hot for TV, presented by Jerry Springer. That was trash. Swerve, the prank show, that was kind of funny.
I do like Untold. Untold was Untold. Very good. They would just kind of sit around. I don't even think you would see the faces. They would just show like still shots, and you would just hear them talking, and then it was like voice of, you know, but. It was very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, you got stuff like that.
Box Club,
yeah. No, I did not watch that. As far as original content for me, man, I can't think of... There wasn't really anything that I really sat down and was like, yo, this is great stuff. Like,
they still have Live with Chris Jericho on there.
I don't even remember that.
I don't either. It's from 2015. It was like a...
Must have been like a podcast or something like that. Holy Foley, remember that?
Yeah, Stephanie McMahon and John Cena were the only 2 episodes on here for that.
Oh, that was his podcast. Yeah. It was like his Broken Skull Sessions or Stone Cold Podcasting.
Yeah.
Which I do with Chris Jericho, and I don't know if anybody watched that.
Something else to wrestle was pretty cool. I watched some of that.
Yeah. I'm trying to think though, man. Nothing really stands out actually. Like
Swerve was kind of funny.
Swerve was kind of funny.
But it wasn't I need to watch
when it first started, but then they started. You could tell they started like kind of scripting it, and I didn't like it. I would say the one thing that I liked. All right, here we go. That stood out for me as a cool piece of content that like I think WWE Network should like do more of, and it's like. That's the one thing I remember from WWE Network as it is today. Table for Three, when it started out, was really good. And I think they should not just do Table for Three. They should bring back the Legends of Wrestling roundtables.
Yeah.
Because I love hearing wrestlers talk candidly about stuff. Like, don't give me scripts. Don't give me, like, especially when there's only, like, 20-minute episodes. No. WWE Network, if you hear me out. Watch time is a good thing. Trust me on this one. You want people to stay on your streaming service as long as possible. So if you got Table for Three and it's an hour, maybe an hour and a half, some change, that's better for you. Yeah. So you want them sessions and watch sessions to be long. That's how Netflix is. That's what they really hone in on. YouTube, the same thing. It's watch time. Trust me on this one. So Table for Three is something that if it's expanded to an hour, I think it'd be great. Those Legends of Wrestling roundtables were about an hour. And this, you could probably still watch those and get something out of them, even though they're like, damn, they're like 10 years old now.
Yeah.
But they were fantastic. When they're talking about the territories in the 70s, yep. Or like, I mean, they had such good ones, like so good ones.
Even like Big Men in Wrestling. It's just,
right.
You wouldn't think that it would be as interesting as it was. And I was a fan when that was on WWE 24/7 on demand. Oh, like great. That would be the first, whatever a new episode was uploaded. And I think they only updated like the on-demand thing twice a month. So it was like 2 weeks would go by, and then the middle of the month they would update it, and then at the end of the month they would update it. Every new Legends of Wrestling show, that was my appointment viewing on-demand. But they didn't even like do new ones for the network.
Oh, never did them. So. And they got like people like Dusty Rhodes on there, and Bobby Heenan. Who's the manager for the Horsemen? Man.
J.J. Dillon.
And they had
Jim Ross, Jerry Lawler. Right. Like,
and they had great topics. Yeah, they had Mike Graham. They had great topics. Heat seekers. People who just had heat.
Yeah.
They talked about the territory. They talked about, like I said, Giants, worst characters, the soul of black people in wrestling, I guess. Southern wrestling, the 70s, families, Canada, like, great topics. Evolution of hardcore wrestling. They had Pat Patterson on there for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, great stuff.
He was the former hardcore champ.
That's true. That is very true. But, like, man, so, yeah, that I guess I'm turning this to what they should bring back. Bring that back, because that stuff was good. Y'all can got
you people. You will top 28 million subscribers if you bring back Legends of Wrestling.
You'll have me watching, because you bring back those roundtables. And they got people who can do it. They got Booker T. He's around. Yeah. They got people who
are under the wrestling contract. Season 2.
They got people who are under Legends contracts who can talk. And you got stories to tell. You got Road Dogg. You got
Kevin Nash.
Got, like, Nash. Who's on the first? Who's in the first installment of the Legends of Wrestling? They got DDP is in AEW, so maybe not DDP or Chris Jericho, but they got people. All right, just go through the Hall of Fame. They got some people on there that they can dial up. Shawn Michaels, Triple H, like maybe Triple H, maybe not Triple H because he's in a executive position, but get Shawn Michaels out there. Get Waltman. Get Nash. Get Booker T. Get some guys out there. They can do it. It can happen. I'd be all for it. And get Sergeant Slaughter out there. You got guys backstage. Shane Helms. All those guys. Who else they got back there? I forget who else they got back there. But working Lance for the Storm. Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
They got story. You know, don't put them on table for three. Get them on this Legends of Wrestling roundtable thing. Stay.
Kurt Angle.
Right. Kurt Angle. I gotta forget Kurt Angle. Like, that stuff would be great though. Like Jason you don't even. You don't have to use the older guys as you used the first time around. Right. Like unfortunately, you know,
people... Bret Hart. I mean...
Right, you can bring Bret Hart back. But unfortunately, people like Dusty Rhodes and Roddy Piper, who won the first installment, right. Unfortunately aren't around anymore. Mean Gene, the same way. He's unfortunately passed on. But, like, those guys were legends of then, but you've got new legends now that you can use. They can, hey, let's have a round table about the Attitude Era. Let's have a round table about the Monday Night War. Even though that stuff is tired and is worn down, but they haven't really talked about it on that format yet.
Right, I would watch that.
I would watch it. You can do, you know...
Now, they did try. Maybe the Legends with JBL thing, it wasn't exactly the same, but...
That's like a sit-down, one-on-one type of thing.
Yeah, which that was pretty good, but yeah. If I had to compare the two, Legends of Wrestling was way better.
Much better. Much better. I did enjoy the Legends thing with JBL because it was like a one-on-one sit-down. It was like almost like a Larry King type of style interview, and that was good. It wasn't always great, but it was good. Like I said, Legends of Wrestling thing, though, that was fantastic. Like, yes. I don't... That stuff... I'm still...
Just that whole, like... horseshoe table and everything. It was just like a cool
ritual.
And you're just like sitting there, not even like they're smoking cigars, you know, it's great.
It was awesome. And they did a bunch of these Legends of JBL thing. They got Stan Hansen on that. He did Stan Hansen or Bruno.
Yeah, I do.
Rest in peace, Bruno. He did a two-part over. I didn't know he had this many episodes. Either way, those were cool. But Legends of Wrestling Roundtable should make a comeback. And so, yeah, I don't know, man. It's a lot. It comes down to a lot. But WWE Network may be changing for good. Maybe changing for good. But in the meantime, I think we filled up an entire show talking about this, so we don't have to worry about doing a video game discussion. We'll do that another time. In the meantime, Nick, let's wrap up episode 225 of The Straight Shooters.
All right. You can follow me at Nick Pacone on Twitter. Follow us at Shooters Radio on Twitter and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/The Straight Shooter. And you can follow my writing and my editing and my running the website at phillyinfluencer.com. We've got some good stuff up there. I will hopefully get back to posting this podcast on there. Just things have been so crazy the last few months. But I post this podcast on phillyinfluencer.com, send it over to phillyvoice.com. They post it. So I'm hoping to get back into the routine of doing that. So hopefully you'll see our podcast return to those websites very soon. And also check out Fox Sports The Gambler on iHeartRadio, the iHeartRadio app. Catch it on 102.5 FM, 1480 AM.
There you go. I am at Vaughn M. Johnson on Twitter. You can't find me there. You can find me out here in these streets, as usual, as always. And yeah, I'm out here. Just checking you out. You know? You can check us out on shootersradio.com. You can also check us out on patreon.com/shootersradio. We can subscribe to some exclusive content for the nominal fee of $1.99. Of course, you can check us out there on Valentine's Day when we release the exclusive live commentary of St. Valentine's Day Massacre, of the main event of St. Valentine's Day Massacre. So check us out on there come Valentine's Day, February 14th. Only a little more than a week away, so check us out. But in the meantime, for Nick McCone, I am Vaughn Johnson. Thanks for listening to episode 225 of The Straight Shooters, and we'll catch y'all again next week.
Peace.